Good morning. The time is 9:06, currently at our studio, still on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. 56 degrees under partly cloudy sky. Should be a very pleasant day. We'll get the details here in just a moment. But first, I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. As I said, nice start here this morning. Expecting nice weather for the rest of the day. But what can we expect as we get to the middle portion of the work week? Well, to find out, we're joined from Weatherology by our meteorologist, Jennifer Fucheski. And first of all, Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, the weather's been really good recently. Again, we had a good weekend. We had a good start to the week yesterday. We're to the final days of summer. We're going to be to the point of the old solstice here in a couple of days. And it looks like not too bad as we get to the middle part of the week, right?
Right. It's going to definitely feel a lot more like summer coming in for the next few days coming in ahead. Today, we're looking at actually our coolest day this forecast. Partial sunshine develops today. Highs getting up right around about 70 degrees. It's actually pretty average right where we should be for this time of the year. And then for tonight, we do have a slight chance for showers and storms. Cloudy overnight lows around about 52. A 10-degree increase in temperatures, though, by tomorrow as a warm front comes in. Slight chance for showers, maybe some rumbles of thunder in the afternoon hours. Partial sunshine develops high around about 80 degrees. Then a high pressure settles into control for the second half of the work week. Thursday, sunny, similar day, high around about 80 degrees. 79 here for your Friday, pretty similar again with some sunshine. A chance for rain coming in by the evening hours Friday night. Slightly cooler coming in by Saturday as a cold front begins to push through. We'll have a chance for rain showers, cloudy, and a high around about 75.
To reiterate, I think you mentioned previously about where we stand this time of year. That's significantly warmer than normal, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So today's going to be the average day, and then 10 degrees above average for the next 3 days, actually.
Okay, well, sounds good. Thanks again for the information, and we'll catch you again tomorrow.
No problem. Thank you.
That's our meteorologist, Jennifer Fucheski from weatherology.com. Again, partly cloudy skies right now in Wausau. Temperature stands at 56 degrees. The winds are out of the east at 7 miles per hour. The dew point is 51. Relative humidity of 84%. The barometer at 29.97 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And we're very happy to welcome back to the program, appearing on this radio station for the second time in 5 days. I yelled at the devil's advocates. I said, don't ask all the questions I'm going to be asking.
Oh, you know what? We can go through it again. This is probably a different audience. We're in the morning.
I know, but I will say this. I'm not going to be calling you the queen or whatever they were calling you.
Oh, yeah. It very much made me feel...
Was it the queen of the north?
It felt very Norse.
I'm going to be... Little,
Katie is great.
I'm going to be more Walter Cronkite.
All right, let's go. Know?
But
I'm ready. I heard I'm going to get an existential crisis.
Yeah, number one. Thank you again for coming by. It's always great to talk to you. There's been a lot going on in terms of the issues around the Wausau area. And I guess I will ask you. We only got about 3 minutes before our break because this first segment's always got the weather and all that stuff.
I struggle with time, just so you know. We're going to ramble.
But one of the things I was thinking about, because I was looking at some of the topics we're going to talk about, some of which involve economics, you know, of course. And then there's some, I think, that involve, how would you call it, moral issues or moral leadership within a mayor's role. Talk about an event you had yesterday.
Yeah.
When you talk about economic issues and then you talk about moral issues, how do you look at that balance? Is it easier to talk about economic issues? Is it easier to talk about moral issues?
Yes. So my background is in philosophy and religious studies. Like, I am so interested in what people think and why people think it and like how that contributes to our society, right? Mm-hmm. So like those issues are actually easier for me. It feels more black and white to me about like, yes, of course, anti-Semitism is wrong. That's super easy for me to say. Yes, of course, we should allocate resources towards helping our unhoused population, of course. And then when we talk about economics, you know, like it feels like you're asked to throw your morality out the window and, you know, spend millions of dollars on, you know, some kind of development, which ultimately we do need. We need places for people to live. We do. And we need to move that all around. But it feels a little bit different in a way that is uncomfortable for someone like me.
And there is, I think, a moral aspect of these decisions as well, because I've spent a lot of the last hour talking about this plan to give investment, $850 million of taxpayer dollars to the Milwaukee Brewers to, to spiff up American Family Field.
Right.
To say, okay, please, please, please stay. And when you see the city of Milwaukee and the county of Milwaukee have been going through incredible budgetary issues, and I've said this, and I think I probably said it to you, where every time we spend any money, whether it's a budget or just spending money in different areas, it is truly an announcement on what's important to
us. Right. It's your priority. You're spending money on it. You're spending your time on it. So yeah, you're exactly right. I'm glad that's not a discussion that we have to have here. But, you know, we do have facilities that we own that we need to upkeep. And sometimes other priorities feel more important to me than those that we have maybe a development agreement with.
And I said it as well in the first hour that the one reason I talk about it, because there is a trickle-down aspect to it, though Marathon County.
That's the argument,
and Marathon,
right?
Yeah, the trickle-down aspect, though, in terms of money that's being spent in that area doesn't come to the rest of the state, because we talk about shared revenue and all that. It's all still a limited pie. So all of this actually does affect in one way or another, maybe a small way, what you do here in Wausau.
Yeah, it might. But also, you know, it's one of those things where I know that I can hear my dad in my head, and he's like, why would you want to tax widows and orphans to pay for a bunch of millionaires? Like, I can hear him saying that to me. And I was like, yeah, I get it completely. And, you know, you think about your heritage as a state and all of that, and that leads you to a very difficult discussion, I think.
We're going to take a quick break and then come back with more Katie Rosenberg with us here on Bow Falls Radio. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:15. We are with Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg, and I always like to start off with the sort of warm you up.
Bombast.
No, just warm you up here to, you know, take a few swings in the batting cage before getting to the hard, fast ones, you know.
I'm ready.
You have, and I'm going to start with, I think, more of a softball question.
Oh, good.
Because you want to get you, I want to lull you to a sense of false sense of security here, you know.
Yeah, I'm always there.
But I saw that, you know, you make proclamations from time to time.
A lot.
And you made a proclamation concerning diapers.
Yeah.
What was the deal with this proclamation with diapers? I saw this.
Well, you know, we are in a diaper shortage for kind of our families that need support through the neighbor's place. And they simply asked me, they said, hey, would you be willing to do something? And I was like, sure, we can do this. And then, so we did. I mean, that's really what it takes to get a proclamation. There's not really any rules about what I can proclaim. I can do whatever I want, but I usually try to highlight something that's important to someone in our community.
And that's part of the job, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because you do have this ability where if you make a proclamation or if you make an announcement, or if you speak up on a certain issue, because it's called the bully pulpit. It's always, you know, within the, you know, people talk about the president and we talk about governors and then we talk about local officials as well. That's important. It really is important that we don't get so bogged down in everything that's dollars and cents, that a community is so much more than that. And to be able to to put a focus on an area that needs a little bit of help. I mean, I imagine not only it's important, but it also has to be one of the actually good parts of the job.
Yeah, no, it does feel good to be able to highlight some of those, the important work people are doing. So I try to do that as much as possible or make up my own things to celebrate our culture and heritage here in Wausau.
Right, absolutely. And again, it's just, I sometimes just feel like we get so, and we're going to talk about these other issues that get bogged down.
Yeah, let's talk about all the issues.
I know, but one other thing, I think a good piece of news and one that you seem to be very excited about, the announcement of a new fire chief.
Yeah.
Why are you so excited about the new fire chief?
Well, first of all, Jeremy Kopp is our deputy chief right now, and he is a wonderful human. He's just a good person. He came up through the lines. He's done all of the jobs, basically, so he knows exactly what he's getting into. The teams really trust him. The rest of the city staff really trust him and can work well with him. So I'm really excited. Of course, Bob Bartek, love him. We're so lucky to have had him for our short amount of time, but I know that he really passed on a lot of development and wisdom to Jeremy, and I know we're in good hands.
Again, we're talking to Mayor Katie Rosenberg of Wausau here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Let's talk about what you were doing yesterday. And it was great, obviously, for the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin to come here to Wausau. But it's a very difficult issue. talking about, you talk about getting philosophical in terms of, you know, what's free speech, what's not free speech, what's hate speech, what can be said, what can't be said. And the disturbing aspect of the discussion is the reason the discussion was had is because we're seeing some people that are out in public at events that are attended by members of the community, children, families, and making loud anti-Semitic statements, talking about, and we're seeing that, I mean, just this past week on the social media account of the former president of the United States. I mean, I guess let's talk about the event yesterday. What were you trying to accomplish with this event? What did you talk about yesterday, and how did it go?
Yeah, so I know we've talked about this in the past, but, you know, starting in about March of this year, we started seeing some random anti-Semitic litter around town, and people were scared and alarmed, and someone was dropping off at 3 in the morning on people's doorsteps, and then just a whole pile of litter around City Hall, anti-Semitic. So we figured out who it was. It wasn't, and you know, they were able to be cited and fined for littering. But the anti-Semitism continued, right? At the 400 block, it's technically a public forum. So it's hard to intervene when you're talking about somebody's right to free speech. We can't intervene because of the content. Free speech element. We care about the Constitution. We've all sworn to uphold it, everyone that works for the city. And so that's why we had this discussion. We wanted to understand, like, what can we do as a community? And, you know, there are differences in what you can do as a citizen versus what I can do as government.
Right.
You have a right to free speech. You can go ahead and share your points of view, too. But we wanted to give people the tools. And I know it's so hard for people to ignore this. I know it's hard. It's awful. It sounds awful. We have relatives who are just a generation removed from the Holocaust. So it's not okay. We wanted to come together and have a discussion. We had the Anti-Defamation League. We had the Jewish Community Relations Committee. We had the Attorney General Josh Call. And we had Police Captain Todd Baton. And we all talked through some of these complex issues.
And again, it comes back to, I think, having the moral aspect of the position. Having the bully pulpit, because I'm willing to argue that in the last 8 years, we have had people in positions of power that say things that sort of loosen up the lips of people who may feel a little more comfortable saying stuff like that. Again, I think you and other leaders do have a responsibility to be moral leaders, because this kind of stuff doesn't happen just because,
right?
I mean,
it was building.
So how do you try to push back on that? How do you, because when you, beyond the free speech aspect of it, how do you look at it? What do you think you can do in order to try to set the kind of example that would tell a person that we've heard about, you know, who screams at a public event on the 400 block, these what we call filthy things that are just hateful. How do you kind of look at it within your position?
Well, I think, first of all, like, recognizing that he's not targeting just anyone. He's targeting a population that has been targeted for a millennia, right? And so making sure that you stand up and say, hello to my Jewish neighbors. I want to support you. You are welcome here. What can we do here to make sure that you feel welcome? Mm-hmm. So making sure you make strong statements supporting your community. And also, it's not against any rule for me to say, wow, that free speech, that use of free speech sucks. Mm-hmm. I hate it. You know, but I mean, ultimately, I think it's attention seeking. You know, if it wasn't anti-Semitism, it would be anti-mask. It would be whatever. I mean, we've seen the evolution of this discussion in interesting ways and awful ways, too. So I think it's okay to say it sucks. I think it's okay to ignore it. I think it's okay to, we have to say that we support our community members, though, however you identify.
In terms of ignoring the speech, but I don't think we can ignore the movement.
Right.
How, you know, you said you were able to track down somebody who got fined. In terms of how prevalent that is in our community, do you have a sense of it? Do you sense it's a small minority who are loud, and or do you sense that, again, based on, I think, what we saw in the last 8 years or so, that, again, there's a freedom to say things that otherwise, I think beforehand, people would feel ashamed to say in public. How prevalent do you think this issue is here in our area?
Yeah, so I think it's still relatively rare for people to hold views as, you know, toxic as the ones that we were talking about yesterday. However, you know, I also watched some of the video clips from that county board meeting that were referenced. And there were people cheering and saying that he should be allowed to continue that conversation. And that is probably what makes me nervous, because you shouldn't be cheering on hate speech. I don't cheer on the people on my team who are acting like little jerks and saying awful things. You cannot. You have to say no. So I think that's the problem, is that people are finding it acceptable. And if they're sticking it to their mutual enemies, fine. I don't think that's the approach here. I think we all need to stand up and say, hello, this is wrong. This is just wrong. Can we have a different discussion now? You can hate masks and not have to be anti-Semitic.
And also, I think it's vitally important that that the law enforcement community was involved in what you were talking about yesterday. And also, talking in terms of, again, we may, obviously, I think it's agreed by many folks that, again, free speech is something that is at the core of us as a country for centuries now. But at the same time, to know that the law enforcement community is there making sure that speech does not transfer to action.
Right. I think that was kind of, at what point does it transfer to somebody fomenting violence? You know, we didn't quite touch on it, but, you know, when we think about what happened on January 6th, for instance, like what led to that? And it wasn't like a series of like, you will come to the White House on this day to do this. It was kind of hinting. It was dog whistles. It was a variety of things. And, you know, that's not the only example, right? There are other things that have happened in our nation recently and not so recently. So I think keeping an eye on how those assemblies happen and what kind of language they're using is really important.
What did the Attorney General say? What's the role of his position? Because being the state top law enforcement official, what was his message yesterday?
Yeah, well, he had a lot of really interesting things to say about, you know, case. He's so smart. is a nerd.
Yeah.
So he had a lot of good background on case law and all of those things. But one of the things that struck me was that he's been pushing for funding for this hate speech hotline. Hate crimes hotline, hate incidents hotline. I can't remember what he called it. And we've never funded it. And so that's something concrete that I came away with, like, oh, I can advocate for that. I have no idea how much a hotline like that should cost, but we should be tracking this data. That would be super helpful to understand the evolution of hate speech, hate discussions, things like that in our state. And we should be aware of this. We should be part of national databases. So I think that's the thing that I came away with, like, why don't we do this? That seems pretty easy.
That does seem, I mean, really, that is. I mean, it seems like nowadays it's so easy for people that do have these, I would call, abhorrent points of view to get together because of technology.
Yeah.
And we got to use technology to fight that as well, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we do. And, you know, it gets exhausting, though. I get it. You know, I get deluged with anti-Semitism on Twitter to the point where I'm like, I think I'm done here. I think I'm done with Twitter. So, you know, I think those are choices we make, too, in those platforms that we choose to participate in. And so for now, I'm trying to participate in things that are more helpful to our community and society.
Exactly. Again, we're talking to Mayor Katie Rosenberg of Wausau here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Let's take
the
break.
Sigh.
Yeah, I don't want to go into the next topic now because we do have a break coming up in about a minute. So, I guess the final discussion on yesterday, when you decide to have events like this, I mean, these are important again as part of the bullhorn, I think, for you. Did you feel like it was a successful event? Do you feel like, you know, these are the kind of things that are important in order to keep the focus on, you know, the important aspects as opposed just to the person that's screaming out these slurs.
Yeah, I think the thing that I took away from this was that people are hungry for tools that they can use to be better citizens. And so I actually asked the question, I was like, what else do we need community conversations on? And someone told me, you know, we should have conversations on, you know, what meetings held in public mean, what public comment should be consisting of, how Robert's Rules works, you know, like understanding that framework. And I don't disagree. So I think we could probably have other community conversations on that and other topics. Reach out. It takes a little bit of work to maneuver this, but usually we have a lot of partners. So
We're going to take a news update break right now and then come back, and we're going to turn the page to, I think, another very...
I bet it's hot button.
I think it's a hot button issue with a hot button
dude.
I'm
not going to make an FCC violation on your behalf.
No. I'm going to have to watch myself because there's a guy that... I'm going to kind of preview it. Just be even beyond the issue about somebody that, you know, you and the council and everybody else involved cares about what happens in the city of Wausau. When you have somebody that I don't think really gives a darn about the city of Wausau, how difficult is that to work with? And we're going to go in that direction.
Spoiler alert.
Coming up next with Mayor Katie Rosenberg, coming up here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes with you on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9. Exactly.
Love it.
Absolutely. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. Let's talk about
Let's go, man.
The Foundry on 3rd.
Let's
dive in. Of course, we want it to be built because we're moving downtown too. On everything,
and people want to live there. People want to see something more than a dirt pile.
Exactly, but there was a deadline.
Yep.
I want to go back.
Oh, let's go way back.
Let's go way back. Number one, when was the original agreement put together between you and T-Wall?
So let me just...
And I guess there's three aspects.
Let me go back
okay.
a little bit further.
Let's go back,
so 2019, right, is when the city of Wausau went in $1 million to buy the mall property with Waz. And then Waz kind of started doing their thing, thinking about who do we want developing, and then...
Can I ask you real quickly, because I know people, when you talk about Waz in the city, there's a sense that, well, the city should be owning it, but it's not that simple.
No.
Can you talk about how, because, I mean, again, the city was involved in it with money.
Right.
What is the city's... Yep. I guess, ownership stake. What is Waz in that sense?
Yeah, so Waz owns the land, and they are hiring the developers, and we own the infrastructure through. So roads, the thing you're seeing right up front of your new studio is the new road going through.
Yep.
But also, if there's a developer and they want to do something and they need an incentive or something to fill the gap, then they come to the city and say, hey, we want to do this. We want to work with you. We want to work with Waz. This is what we're looking for. So that's kind of how we're engaged in this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily our project, but it's super important to all of our downtown businesses, everyone who lives here, that we have a thriving downtown and places for people to live.
Okay, so then all of a sudden the city and Waz, they decide, we got to start going down that road, find a developer, get ready.
I wish the city was involved in this. We would have RFP'd it, you know, like all of the things. So it's a little bit different having a partner that isn't a public entity, right? Waz is not.
So basically, they're trying to find a project that works for them financially, works for the city as well.
Yeah, they care about the city.
Absolutely, but it has to work financially as well.
Yep,
they decide what they're going to use with that land.
Yep.
So they decided what they wanted to do with the land,
right? And I'm sure that they've talked to multiple developers, contractors, all the things, and they landed on T-Wall. They liked the quality. They liked what they've done in other municipalities, and so then we started negotiating.
Okay, so then you negotiated and came up with a deal, right?
We did, yes.
And what were the main aspects of the deal that have turned into maybe a bit of a headache?
Right, so the deal was, first of all, starting in September of 2023.
September 1, 2023. By that date.
Yep.
And it was like, and how? When was that agreement put that
last year?
So they had about almost a year, basically. I think it was like 11 months to a year.
And I don't pretend to understand construction. Like the economy with development is wild right now. I mean, you're seeing full projects just stop in other areas. So I get it. It's a little wacky right now. But
at the same time, an agreement was made.
Yep, we signed it. We were fulfilling our end of the bargain. We hired our contractors to do remediation, to do the roads, to do all the things.
When did you hear from T-Wall and Waz and whoever else would have this information.
It's about summertime.
Okay, that the September 1, it was not going
to
work.
Yeah, maybe springish, but okay. Yeah, we brought it to the council as quickly as we could because recognizing we didn't want them to be in default if they still wanted to move forward with this partnership.
All right, we get though to the the month of August.
Look at this timeline you're banking out. Listeners, you're getting a good value here.
But you get to August, then all of a sudden we're at the deadline.
Yep.
And then there's a meeting that was called, and originally on the agenda was an extension, correct?
Yep. But we had some council members who reached out before the meeting and said, I have some big questions that I need closed session because I want attorneys to answer these questions. And we use outside attorney to rework these development agreements. So I decided we can't have all these people with unanswered questions that they deserve to have answers. So I tried to pull it. The council decided they didn't like that, and then they voted to remove it anyway. So, it's an interesting dynamic here. And then we had a special meeting.
And at this point, you decide we're not ready to give the extension. That T-Wall wanted an extension that would went, through June 1st of 2024.
Yep.
Give them to June 1st of next year to start the actual digging and the process. And within a day, a very angry letter was sent to media, was sent to the public from Terrence Wall, who is the guy who is T-Wall.
Right.
And it led to, obviously, a little bit of tension within the relationships.
Yeah, it was a little bombastic, I would say, maybe more than a little. And I think it was unhelpful to this process, too. I think when you single out individual alders for decisions that are made by an entire body, you're not helping yourself or anybody here. So I think that's number one, is that nobody individually can sink or pass anything. And it takes us all.
And the thing about it is, when you decided not to move forward on the extension at that time, that was not saying we're not going to extend. We need more information. We need to have more discussion.
Yeah.
We need to protect the city of Wausau.
Yeah, so there was a little nuance there. And I viewed what the council ended up doing as kind of a middle way. They want... T-Wall wanted the extension, and the council was I'm kind of uncomfortable, and I don't know necessarily all of our obligations to our, the people of Wausau.
Right.
So we said, all right, what if we don't pursue any default? We understand that the deadline is literally this week. We're not going to pursue default.
Mm-hmm.
We want our economic development department to continue negotiating to find the best, argument for us, and we can come back together and have it. We were ready to go basically on that September 12th meeting too. But all of the extra added chaos kind of made it harder, and we weren't getting the responses we needed and things like that. So, people get burned out by the chaos and the outrage machine, I think. And this was part of that.
So where do we stand now in terms of making decisions? And also, I guess, what are the options?
Yep.
Because you have some options.
Yeah.
Some options are good, maybe. Some options probably are painful.
Yeah.
Number one, I guess... What are the options, and what is the timeline on maybe a decision being made?
Well, it is my hope and my anticipation that we have this vote on the deadline extension at our next council meeting, which is next Tuesday, so a week from today.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm expecting that to happen. Now, council members get to decide. Mm-hmm. They get to say, okay, we just went through a lot of madness. Do we want to continue? They get to decide. get to decide how to move forward. They could amend it. We have a lot of opportunity. Obviously, we don't want to see that bombed out looking mall site right now.
Well, if you decide that this relationship is beyond repair, what would happen?
I don't know. So there are some things that we don't know, right? We don't know necessarily all the agreements that are between entities that aren't the city. So I can only tell you what I know from the city side. And so I think it would be a challenge. And I don't think that's probably the direction that a lot of folks want. But I can understand why people would have questions right now about the sincerity. Because sometimes when people act a little bit bombastic... it's because of their own kind of situations going on internally.
I guess it means that everybody has to want to go in the same direction.
Yes.
I mean, and that's what it comes down to, isn't it?
Yeah, and I would say the city has been very earnest in our dealings. And I would say the council members have been very vocal and outspoken about what they need and what they expect. So I don't think we have been veiled by any kind of anything. If you ask us a question, we answer.
Right. And you said it, the council, I think, has been very forthright.
Yep.
I think like it or not, T. Wall has been kind of out there as well, giving some information.
Yeah, I guess we know where he stands, right?
So that would beg the question, there's that third entity, WOZ, W-O-Z. What have you heard from them?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, disappointment in how this conversation is happening and wanting to make sure that everyone's working together to do what's best for the city of Wausau. I think there's nothing else to be said. I mean, it would be interesting to maybe even talk to one of them. You could maybe interview. I don't know.
That'd be a good idea, definitely. What is your role in all of this?
I'm trying to calm everyone down. You know, I attend our internal meetings with our staff. I will sometimes be involved in some of the other discussions with WOZ. But mostly, I want to make sure that I'm standing up for my neighbors. I want to make sure that they're getting the best deal out of this. You know, as it stands now, I mean, if we moved forward with the deal and it happened, the city of Wausau would actually pay less in that tax increment towards the development. So, you know, that's kind of appetizing in a way, assuming that we follow through.
So I guess it's going to be interesting coming up in the next week.
Yeah,
or so.
I mean, we are not boring. I can give you that. We are never boring.
Let me ask you before we do run out of time. Another issue that we've talked about is housing.
Yes,
and
we need it all.
And there was a vote taken. Time just rolls.
It was last Tuesday.
Last week only.
Tuesday.
It feels like. Yeah. Well, but I think you're right. It feels like. Number one, it needed a 2/3 vote. Why was that?
It was actually a 3/4.
Oh, 3/4 vote.
Yeah. Sorry. It's very strange. So we have an ordinance.
I guess I should take a step back. What are we talking about here? What was the issue and why is it important?
Yeah. So in 21, we started the housing task force for the city of Wausau. We wanted affordable housing task force. We wanted to make sure we were building housing that people could live in and afford, families could, you know, get up ahead of where they were. So that was the goal. And one of their recommendations was, hey, city, you own these like random parcels throughout the city. Can we do housing on this? Mm-hmm. Affordable. And so that was the directive. The council said, yep, let's go. So this was one of our efforts. And people got mad in the neighborhood. It's on Wyatt Street. I think it's technically District 10. And people were upset about the concept. It was 6 units. And
specifically, what were the complaints? They came and made complaints. Was there any that stuck out with you?
Yeah, I think the disappointing part for me is whenever anybody who's going to live in affordable housing is described as those people.
Right.
What does that even mean? You know, when I was looking at the criteria for being able to rent one of those apartments, that would have been me. It would have been my husband. It could still be my husband, who's a teacher.
It could be me as a radio announcer. I'm not kidding you.
Truly,
I'm not kidding you.
I was actually talking to my cousin, who's a dentist in Arlington, and she said, I'm telling now the government of Arlington that they have priced me out of their market. I will never find a house here, and you're not going to have a dentist. So these are things that are happening across the country, but it feels so intimate here, and it was 6 units. It feels so wild to have the feedback that we got, but you know, I also want to respect that people have feelings, and how do we bring people along so that they can support projects like this instead of tank them?
Could I ask you, there's one aspect that was mentioned in the write-up about it concerning HUD, and I'd asked you about this last week. Can you, because I took it as meaning that somehow something was missed.
No.
Was something missed?
No, nothing was missed. So in general, you know, the process with HUD is, you know, they open it up, they review, and if there are complaints, they come back to us and they said, hey, we have complaints. What about this? What about this? And so there were complaints about it. People did complain to HUD about it. So that's factual, and that's the process. And so I understand when people are like, oh my gosh, HUD is mad about this. No, this is the process. We deal with this all the time with federal regulatory agencies. We deal with, you know, the Federal Transit Administration. So there's nothing nefarious or weird about it. Okay. We have a very good relationship with HUD, and it's just part of the process. But I understand if you're just hearing about its existence for the first time, it seems a little weird.
Well, yeah. Then when it says, well, HUD says that you didn't do this, it's like, oh, well, why didn't they do that?
Yeah,
why didn't they follow
the
process?
It's just the process.
Okay,
so,
very good.
I mean, fair enough.
Where do we go now from this? Is this idea dead? Is there still hope for it?
Well, the current idea is dead, right? Obviously, we're not, unless one of the council members who voted against it says, actually, I have a change of heart, let's reconsider. That could be a thing. I haven't heard anything of that sort.
Hmm.
Now, I think probably we're going to look forward at, like, what can we do on that site, if anything? Or do we just need to move this to a different site? I am driving around the city, and there's one right by City Hall, and I was like, could we do that project right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I keep thinking of ideas like that. So we're going to consider and keep keep moving forward. This is one hiccup. We got to get housing, though. 525 units by 2025. I don't know how we're going to do it if we keep voting down these developments.
And again, just from your perspective, there was really, this was a good idea.
I think it was a good idea. And I think people were nervous about the future. I get it. We're in a spot right now where everybody's nervous about everything. I am. I feel like I'm hoarding my money instead of spending it like we're supposed to be, right? I'm nervous. We're all nervous about this economy and what's going to happen.
And change in any way is hard.
Yeah.
I think, I talk to people about this all the time, that you go back, I think, again, centuries in this country. Change is always hard. Us as a people have some sort of, definite fear of change.
Whole wars about change.
Yes, it's
hard.
It just continues. I think it's part of the American psyche for whatever reason. And I guess before we wrap it up, anything else on the itinerary? Any issues that you're looking at that we should be as citizens keeping an eye on?
Oh my gosh. Well, I will give you this, and it's not exciting unless you're a nerd, but maybe you are. Budget season.
Oh, yeah.
In October, we'll have a bunch of workshops, so public's welcome to join us as we discuss what's in our budget. I already have had, obviously, very sneak peek, very intimate peek at every department's budget. So we're working on that, and we will have a public hearing in November, and then we will vote in November as well.
Basically, real quickly about budget, we talked so much about the importance of shared revenue and how the budget process went. How is it going to be different this time around than it has in the past?
Gosh, you know, I was so excited about our, like, little more than $1 million in extra shared revenue. I was like, oh, we can pay for our firefighters or this or that or this. You know what we're going to do? Our health insurance is up like 18% to 20%. So, you know, these are the decisions we have to make. So we're going to have a lot of good discussion about what we want to do moving forward.
Person or as a government entity, I imagine that when we get a little bit of a windfall, it goes away so quickly, doesn't it?
Oh, man, I know. And it's so disappointing. I'm like, well, we got to pay for it. People got to have health insurance.
And I guess finally, to wrap it up, I think it's important, again, for people to be involved in their government, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, as the mayor, I think that what piece of advice for an average citizen that they can be involved in some way that maybe they haven't thought about before or in some way?
Okay. Watch a meeting, attend a meeting, make a public comment, write a letter to your council member. I know a lot of them have neighborhood meetings. Attend those.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to start circulating nomination papers in December. Are you interested in running? The entire county board, the entire city council, my seat, it's all up. So, like, it could be real wild and exciting.
Let me get this. You are now sitting here encouraging people to run against you?
I'm not afraid of democracy, man.
That is a true public servant here.
Let's go. Hey, all I know is, like, if I'm not doing this job, I'm going to do something else that's cool. So bring it on. Let's talk.
I guess final question. Is election season exciting or is it something you dread?
Both. Is that the answer? I mean, it's a lot of work. It means having basically two full-time jobs. So if you see me up at night at midnight, it's because I'm doing my campaign stuff. I don't have time otherwise.
Oh, so that's good to know. You're doing the official stuff first, and then you're doing the campaign stuff.
Yeah.
I know.
You know you can't get away with anything. I wouldn't even try.
Mayor Katie Rosenberg, thank you again for coming in.
We'll get you
back next month.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, again, we'll have some, like, softballs to start off with, some good news. Always want good news. We want good
Maybe
news.
Maybe we'll have an even bigger, weird crisis to talk about.
Oh, geez. I don't know about that.
Just kidding. It'll be really slow and boring.
Number one, enjoy the final days of summer. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy central Wisconsin.
Thank you.
Mayor Katie Rosenberg joining us. We got to take one more quick break and then come back and wrap things up. Chat Home Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12.
The bone, we take care of it.
At Home Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Today is the 19th day of September, 2023. Some famous events have occurred on this date in history. In 1881, President James Garfield died of wounds inflicted by an assassin more than 2 months earlier. On this date in 1934, Bruno Hauptmann was arrested in New York, charged with the kidnap and murder of the Lindbergh baby. On this date in 1970, hard to believe, 53 years ago, a show that I think I have seen every episode multiple times. I love, love, love this show. In fact, made me want to move to Minneapolis at a time, one time. But on this date in 1970, the Mary Tyler Moore Show debuted on the CBS television network. On this date in 1982, the first smiley face ASCII-based emoticon was posted online. On this date in 2001, the Pentagon ordered combat aircraft to the Persian Gulf in response to the September 11 terror attacks. On this date in 2016, earliest known fish hooks at 23,000 years old were discovered on Okinawa Island, Japan. And on this date in 2021, the body of travel blogger Gabby Petito was found at Bridger-Teton National Forest in Wyoming. Some famous people that are celebrating their birthday today. Actor Jeremy Irons is 75 years old. TV personality Joan London turning 73, former co-host of Good Morning America. Former Saturday Night Live cast member Sherry O'Terry turning 61 years old today. TV personality Soledad O'Brien is 57. Actor Sana Lathan of Harley Quinn and Succession is 53. Tonight Show host Jimmy Fallon turning 49 years old today. Actor Allison Sweeney of Days of Our Lives and The Biggest Loser is 47. And Danielle Panabaker of The Flash is 36 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday today, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Some special events being celebrated today. It is Talk Like a Pirate Day. It's also Meow Like a Pirate Day. I have no idea why those days are being celebrated today, but they are. It is Butterscotch Pudding Day. It is Woman Road Warrior Day. It is IT Professionals Day. And also Take a Loved One to the Doctor Day. So those are the special events being celebrated today. And our number for the day is 41. That is the percentage of men who think about cheating on their partners. 28% of women do. So those are the numbers. Those are not fun numbers, I guess, but those are our numbers for the day. Thanks again to Owosso Mayor Katie Rosenberg for joining us today. Thank you very much for that. Coming up tomorrow, we'll be back from 8 until 10 a.m. Also tomorrow, make sure you join me from 6 until 8 p.m. as well for the big high school sports show. So it will be a busy Wednesday tomorrow with me on Bow Falls Radio. But stick around. Coming up after 10 o'clock, Kristen Bry, As Goes Wisconsin. Kristen in her final week before heading off on maternity leave. So make sure you stick with Kristen Bry all week on As Goes Wisconsin, along with Jane Mantanare. Then from noon until 1, it is Town Call. From 1 until 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 until 4, Matt Flynn directs the Devil's Advocates from 4 until 6 with Crudy and Dom. And then from 6 until 7, the Maggie Dawn Show. That's all coming up today and tonight. Keep it right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Have yourselves a great day. Thanks again for joining me on the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio.